blessed be the name of my Lord. Blessed be the name of my Lord. I will bless your holy name for all my days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will bless your holy name for all my days. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, O Lord. All my days I will sing praises unto thee, O God. For there is no God like you. There is no God beside you. You are the only and true and living God. You are the mighty God. You are the unveiled God. You have become veiled in our flesh. And we now know you, Lord, as one with us because you want to become one with us. And we praise you this morning for your goodness. Isn't he wonderful? You know, we're living in a time when the world is in upheaval and our political systems are all disheveled and one is against another, and even churches are against each other, and even around, you know, our own affiliated churches, you know, you have this division going on. Satan's having a heyday, but his heyday's coming to an end, because hay will be burnt with fire. Amen. The only thing that'll exist and keep existing is going to be the gems of God, the stones of God. God has called you. Amen. And so we're so glad to know today that there's only one secure thing, one anchor, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ and his love and his word. And that's all we need. Amen. And don't you love the way that he can just work with us? I'm thankful for God healing us from the stomach flu. We went through it ourselves. I got a call from Brother Craig Boer, who's the pastor in Meriden. He said that they had gone through it. It just hit the whole family all at once. You know, Satan has to get in his last punch, because that's the last one he gets. And after that, he's in trouble. You know, so we're thankful for that. And also, just a little bit of a testimony, and you may be seated in just a second here, and we'll have our brother come. But just quickly, I was thinking of some of my past businesses of recycling, you know, the metal recycling that I did. And I was driving in my daughter's car, the Ford Focus, and she has a stereo in there that I bought from the salvage yard. That's where I try to buy everything if I can. You know, there's nothing like $20 tires and a $20 stereo system. That's a really nice one. So I was looking at it and I said, boy, I haven't been there in a while. When we had gone there, the guy behind the counter's name is James Priester. He works at Chuck and Eddie's in East Hartford, and he was really nice. He says, you can just have it, and he just gave it to us. And I've had that happen before. I needed a battery. I said, just take it, you know. And very nice fellow, and always talks about Jesus. So I was thinking about him just the last couple of days and thinking, you know, I need to go back up there even though I don't need anything. I just want to say hi because I haven't said hi in a while. And yesterday I had picked up the brother that's going to be preaching today and from the airport. And I brought him to the hotel where he's staying at in Meriden. And right as I'm leaving, getting ready to come home, my Sister Myrna, my wife, texts me and says, we need some food from the grocery store, pick these things up. So I started thinking, okay, do I go home and go past my house to the Stop and Shop there, or do I just go to the one local here in Meriden? I'm already here. So I decided I'm going to go to the one in Meriden. So I go there, and I walk through the door, and somebody says, hey, and I look, and there's this guy, James Priester, standing there. I'm like, what are you doing in Meriden? He goes, I live here. I lived here for 30 years. And I said, well, you know, it's interesting. I said, you always talk about the Lord. Where do you go to church? He says, well, I grew up going to a church in Waterbury, but I haven't gone in forever. And he says, I've really been away from the Lord. And he said, but recently my dad had to move from South Carolina up here. He's living with me. And he said, I just started realizing at this time in my life, I need God. And I said, yeah, and here I am. So, you know, I just started to share with him. I said, you know, why don't you just come by and visit the church? I said, we're just right there in Wallingford. He knew right where it was. So I said, and also we're going to have a get-together at my house middle of December, so we'd love to have you come. And He said, you know, I just recently started praying. Haven't prayed in forever. And he got very sober, very serious. And I said, well, God's got a plan for your life. You know, see, saints, you just never know who you're talking to. Guy works at a scrapyard. You know, you don't know who is a child of God or hungry for God. We just have to be available. So remember him in prayer, James Priester. Easy to remember. He's a priest. He's going to be a priest of God. Amen. How many is a priest and a king for the kingdom of God? And last, Brother Boer called me last night as well, and he heard that we were going to have Brother Murphy Wong in, who's the missionary to China, Wednesday night. So this Wednesday, even though it's right on the heels of Thanksgiving, we're having a service Wednesday night. Brother Murphy Wong will be speaking. And so Brother Craig Boer is inviting, he canceled his service, and they're planning on coming over here. So be here or else. No, I'm just teasing. Be here or you miss out. So come Wednesday night if you can. We'd love to have that showing, because it's going to be really wonderful to have the two churches together a little bit. By God's grace, God knows what he's doing. And also be in prayer for the little church in Norwich with Brother Samson and Brother Serge. Brother Samson and Brother Serge are brothers. They're from Haiti. And they're doing a great work there. And so Brother James Nagby has been helping, and we're helping. We're both going down and helping them with the church. So please keep them in prayer. It's a quite an endeavor. That's a city that needs Christ. That's a city that needs Christ. They need the Lord. So that's what we're here for. How many needs more of Christ this morning? We are blessed this morning to have with us Brother Godwin. I'm not going to try to say his last name. I'll let him say it, because I will not say it right. But brother, it starts with an O. I know that. Brother James, I'll call him that. I'm sorry, Brother Godwin, O. Hallelujah. But he's a precious brother. He's from Nigeria. He is a evangelist in the church there in Nigeria. We can consider that a sister church of ours now, so we appreciate that. Brother Godwin is a journalist. He works in his secular work for a journalism company, and he's a journalist. But he's also an attaché to the president of Nigeria. So we have an ambassador here from the president of Nigeria who's going to be speaking to you today. Isn't that exciting? But more important than that is I want you to understand that we have an ambassador here who comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So he's going to be speaking from the throne of God with a message. How many is ready for that? Amen. So let's just prepare our hearts. Let's just stand as we sing. This song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone, I've been set free. How many's free this morning? My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Of blood, his mercy just pours out on you. Unending love, a pain. As our brother Godwin comes, let's sing. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace be our first. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Shall we give a clap offering to the Lord? Louder, 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 louder. Higher. Higher. You may be seated, please. God bless you. It's a great privilege to be in your midst this resurrection morning. And I want to thank the Lord for making a way for me to be here. I want to also thank my pastor, Pastor Elijah, for giving me the opportunity to be here. To speak to the purchase of the blood of Jesus. You are a purchase of the blood of Jesus. Gathered in this corner of the earth. Amen. So, I want to thank you for giving me that privilege. I want to bring greetings from my country, Nigeria. My pastor out there, Godwin Peters is his name. He brings his greetings to you. He did ask me, wherever I go, Brother Godwin, when I meet the saints, please greet my greetings, send my greetings to every one of them. So I bring the greetings of my pastor to you this resurrection morning. I also bring the greetings from my dear wife. Amen. Her name is Deborah. And she asked me, she called me that I should greet the saints this side of the world. And so I bring her greetings to you. And greetings of other saints in Africa, in Nigeria. I took time off to come around. I call upon the Lord. I say, what do you have me do this time around? I need to go on my annual leave. I'm supposed to go on my leave once a year. I said, okay, I have to go down, go and evangelize, go and preach the gospel. Though I'm a journalist, but the main thing is that I'm a call. The call of God is more important.
Amen.
The other one we call is that it's a secular job. What we are really called to is to preach the gospel. Go into the world and do that.
That's right, sir.
And I said, Lord, okay. To get the visa, to get the money, and everything that is required to move. I said, Lord, if it's you, then make a way for me. I must confess, and it made a way. It will take a long time to tell you how I be able to raise the money to buy the ticket, to get my visa. I walked to the embassy, and without much question, I was just given to go 2 years. And I can see the hand of God. So I've been around since. I've been here for the past almost a month now, 4 weeks now. I've been in Atlanta, and they started to bring their greetings from Atlanta. I've been in New Jersey. They started to bring their greetings also. I'm in Boston. They said they bring their greetings. And then from there, I flew into Minneapolis. And they started to bring their greetings. They said, Brother Godwin, wherever you go, greet the saints. Praise the Lord. That is the greatest joy I feel I have. I'm not a politician. I don't belong. What gave me joy is to talk about Jesus. And that is all that gave me joy. And when I meet men and women that I'm expected to spend eternity with, I'm more at home. I'm more at home. So I just have today to speak to you. I was here the other time. I told the Lord, say, what do you have me say? You know, I'm going to have problem communicating. Maybe my English may not be known. And I call God, what you did in the upper room, out of apostle, and they were hearing each other in their language. I said, let it be so, Lord. So I pray that God will grant you understanding. What do I have, really? I am not coming here to give you a brand new message. I'm not coming to give you a brand new message. The message is already for us. My responsibility is just pick the message, warm it up for you. I'm also here to revive what is already in you. Revival is something that we, revival is not altogether getting a new member into the church, but to revive that what deposited in your life. So the way I present it, I don't know. Just pray that God will help me. So praise the Lord. And I said, what is it that I'm going to present? I said, okay, well, the church. I want to tell you what you are. Every one of you here. What you are and how to connect you with your prophet. God so loved us, he sent us a prophet to come and direct our paths. May God help us. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. So, without much wasting your time, I know you people are very busy people here. I want us to open the scripture. I want to tell you what you are, and I want to tell you what the prophet is to us, and how do we connect. So, I just give you just a simple title. I know you people are doing, on Thursday, you have your Thanksgiving Day. On Thursday, I wanted to speak on what the prophet said about it. That is when he preached the token. I said, okay, no, let me not go that way. But we thank God that you are here. We are discussing what they are thanking for, that they came, you people came here to a new land, and how God has been helping you, making things good for you. And you are thanking God for that. They are thanking God for that, which is all right. But I think the prophet may call to understand the things that we really have to thank God for is the privilege to have his spirit, yes, the Holy Ghost, the token,
yes,
that he has brought for us. That is more important. And that is something we must not renegade. We mustn't play with it.
That's right.
The totality of our purpose here is to have the life of Christ. What is real life? Life is not driving a good car, living a good life, good mansions. You know, you're American, you have almost everything. Praise the Lord. But the real life that we are talking about is the eternal life. A life where that has no beginning, that has no ending. A life where you live without pressure, without stress. No stress, no trouble, no pain, no nothing. You live a life of peace that has no beginning, that has no end. Do you know that is already, you already possess with that? That is already dwelling in you? Do you know that it's already in you? That seed gem that God has deposited, it shows that, oh my, just hold on. Just hold on. I don't want to be too fast. Praise the Lord. I pray that God will grant us understanding. So I came here in the name of the Lord. Now, maybe when we get there, you see me. I have to introduce myself to you first of all. My name is Brad Godwin. Brad Godwin Omoigui. Can you please pronounce it, please? Omoigui. That's my father's name, my grandfather's name. And my name is Godwin. I think I'm okay with Godwin. I don't want you to go and twist your, bite your tongue because you are calling my name. Don't do that. Hallelujah. So, I'm married. My wife's name is Deborah. With three kids. Two girls and a boy. And your brother standing before you here now, I'm also a five-time grandfather. I have boys, about four of them in my house, and the elder one is coming out of the university. I don't know what you call your college, by next year. So this is me here. So when we meet in glory, you will quickly identify me, right? God bless you. Thank you once again, Brother Gaze. I just look at him. There are things you don't expect somebody to tell you who he is or who anybody is. There is something that connects.
That's right.
For the first time, you don't need to say it or expect him to utter it. But the spirit, when you look at somebody, look at it, you know that there's something that's connecting the two of you together. The very first time I set my eye on you, I know that we must be connected. The Lord bless you, sir. The few minutes, not to waste your time, I want us to stand on our feet, pick up our Bible, and read thereof. Brahma, God bless you. Shalom. Yeah. So we read from Genesis chapter. Okay, let me see. I've been trying. There are so many things to talk about.
Amen.
so many. I look up, I say, Lord, what am I going to tell them? What am I going to preach you for high up there? I'm just from the wilderness. What do you have me say, Lord? I look at so many things, but this is when I want to pray, the church. I just stopped that. That only the church. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. I pray that you understand me. I'm an evangelist, and you know evangelists, when they start talking, they just present the truth the way they are. Sometimes you may not like it. Genesis. Now, I read. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Our precious eternal Father, we thank you for thy word. Lord, any man that can read and write can fling through the pages of the Bible and read thereof. But Lord, it takes you, the author of this Bible, to give us the revelation. I call upon you to come down, Lord. I am nothing, Lord. They are just looking at me, but I don't want them to see me. I want Christ to be made manifest. Lord, come down. Just take me aside. Just pack man aside and take control of this blessing. Lord, I call upon you to bless the people, Lord. Let it be you also hearing in them, oh God, that at this end of the service, may we have cause to glorify your name. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. Maybe see that as we turn to the book of Ephesians. Now, we in Africa were very, very tough and very... So you pardon my emotion. I'm an emotional man too. Pardon me. I don't know how it's going to be like. Nothing gives me joy to know where I'm coming from.
Hallelujah.
To know the life I must live on earth here.
Hallelujah.
And to know where I am going.
Yes,
it's not the issue of doubting. It's not the issue of thinking. It's sure. Amen. It's as sure as I'm looking at you right now. We have not come to this message by mistake.
That's right. Wow. Amen.
No. Don't think that I'm here the way I'm even dressed, putting a bow tie and brand and all the rest. God knew about it.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world,
Amen.
He knew that I will be here.
Amen.
He knew that I will have fellowship with you. He knows you are going to make it. Oh, Father. I don't know.
That's true.
Okay. Ephesians chapter 1. You must take you see the Bible prophet said that when you come to church like you have come this morning, you can never live here the same way you came in. Do you believe that? I don't want to say negative, I want to be positive. Hallelujah. Amen. Take this and go with it. All right. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. Oh. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 1 says, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ. Is that correct? Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ. Now, he's not talking to novice. He's not preaching, he's not sending this letter to those unbelievers. He's talking to those that are already in it. Right. Okay. Grace be to you, as I also know that this is called Grace Tabernacle. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
My. You will see what God, grace has done for you and me today. Grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he had chosen us in him before the what? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to be to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. May the Lord help us in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Man found favor with God, Abraham. God, and in the beginning, man found favor with God. That is Abraham. Let me read it as the prophet presented. I'm just trying to, pardon me. I'll quote the prophet more often. I hope you don't mind. Amen. I'll quote the prophet. I read him, and I think I'm more comfortable reading him. I don't like to make my own inferences into it. I want to read it the way the prophet presented it. I'm very comfortable with that. I hope you are comfortable too. Yeah. Abraham coming from Babylon with his father down into China, the valley of Shinar, where the souls of many journeying after the destroying of Babylon, or the confusion that took place. Abraham's parent brought Abraham and his loved ones down into China. China, what they call it. And all that land, among all those people, God, man, find favor with God. Now, and I want you to notice this now. This is the beginning of Christianity. You got it? The call of God. Abraham was just in the midst of his family, brethren, doing well. Everything just going fine. Living his life, brethren. All of a sudden, perhaps as he was rearing his sheep or cattle, a voice just came, Abraham. Abraham could not, how? Voice, somebody just popped up and said, Abraham. How did Abraham know that voice is voice of God? Something made him to understand. Abraham, leave your father, leave everything you have, pack everything you have, and follow me into a wilderness, to a place I don't even know. Wow. Move out into a strange land. In the first place, how did Abraham come to the conclusion that was God? Yes. Something in him made him acknowledge that voice is God's voice. In the first place. For him to obey. That's right, brother. The prophet told us there is a deep. Yes. If you have that, there is a deep that calleth to a deep. Because when that deep calls to a deep, there must be a deep to respond. Amen. Abraham recognized that God calling him to leave his father, to leave his mother, to leave everything, to do comfort zone, leave his comfort zone. And throw me to a wilderness, to a place, a land you don't even know. Wilderness. And something in him anchored. Something in him agreed to that voice. Do you know that's the same thing with you today? Is there anything attractive and shiny about the message of the hour? But it's something in you that agreed with Abraham. When you hear the voice of Mama Ego cry, you remember that you are not a chicken. Because you are an ego. The moment you heard that voice, Mama Ego, I have never met him before. But when I'm reading every bit about the man William Brown, there is something that anchors in my heart. There's something that agreed. There's something that it's like I've arrived home. You know, by tomorrow now, it's going to be 3 days' journey. I'll be traveling. until I get to my to embrace my wife and say, I'm back, I will not heave a sigh of relief. Ah, I've arrived home. That is how it is, spiritually speaking. You are in denomination, there are things they are doing, you don't understand. Or there are questions that always go with it. Until finally you had the voice. That is the beginning of Christianity. As I call. I'm trying to paraphrase something because I can't go through everything. Now I want you to notice that is the beginning of Christianity of the church. And I want you to notice it wasn't because Abraham was a good man. Oh, come on, brothers. Oh, it's not because Abraham was a good man. Get that one clear. I can even preach on that for almost a month. Because people think it's because of your effort, because you pray, because you fight. I am not saying you shouldn't do that. It's the other way around. Let me put it this way. You are not fasting and praying because you want to go to heaven. You are not calling upon God that you want to go to heaven. Oh, Lord, I want to make it. I want to make it. Oh, so I asked somebody, why are you a Christian? I want to go to heaven. I want to go to oh, you will surely miss it. It is love that binds. That you see, you now look at it and say, look, it is not because I want to go to heaven, but because I'm in love with God. That is the point. It's not because you are a good man, you pay your tithes, you are regular, you are doing, which is also good for you to do.
Right.
You do it because you are in love with God, Jesus.
Right.
You are not doing it because of the favor.
Right.
We sometimes try to help people. Don't let your mind go, oh, the Bible tells us when we pay tithes. When you pay your tithes, the barn God will open, prosper you, and things will go well with you. Don't let your mind go that way.
That's right.
Do it because you are in love. Amen. It's not because the prophet said there are going to be a lot of good men in hell. Direct quote. It's not that, brother. It is a relationship. You are in love with Christ. And when you are in love with somebody, you will not want to offend him. You like to obey his ways and obey his life. That's how Abraham was called. Abraham, it's not because he was good, because he it was because God elected him.
Wow.
That's the point, is the election. You know, I read Ephesians. Election. And he chose Abraham. Election. let me stress more. There are quotes on that. It is not, like I said, it's not by accident that you find yourself here at all. God had known about it. It is written in the Bible. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son to come and die for us. Whosoever believes on him should die. The real sense of it is not just the world. Prophet makes us to understand that. That for Christ to come from banister of glory, to go through the pains he went through, he died as a man.
Right.
To come down and went to the cross and pay the supreme price, there must be something very special.
Amen.
He didn't die in vain.
That's right.
Get it clear. He never died in vain. He never go through that. God, the creator of the heavens and earth, condescended.
Yes,
allow his people he molded and he created to be abusing him and slapping him. To allow himself to be born in a manger. You know, a manger, we took a manger. Christian brother feel that it's a very beautiful, it's a very bad place. When you say a manger, that is where animals defecate. They urinate there. It's a smelling place. It's so disgusting.
Right,
he was, he allowed himself to be born from that purpose. He has something in his mind, brothers.
My.
He could not have done that for nothing. He has something.
Yes.
He was crying across the. He said, Lord, if this, I wish this cup can pass over me. He said, if he came to himself, he said, how be it? Let that war be done. Let your will be done. He has something in mind.
Yes.
What are the things in his mind? He has some people that need to be delivered.
Yes.
Oh, my. They are elect. Those that are elected of God. You that you are myself, I sit down there. We need to be rescued. There needs somebody to be rescued urgently.
Yes, sir, brother. Amen.
And that's how he came. He had you in mind. Why? Because there are some people, men and women, who are ordained, who had that CGM, who had that power of God already in them. We were in him from the foundation of the world. Amen. You were in him. We existed before Genesis. Oh, praise the Lord. We existed before Genesis. The prophet said, because we cannot know at that time that we were in him. He said, because there are only one person that knows, and that was Jesus Christ. You see, glorify me, Lord, as you glorify before the foundation of the world. He worked for you. He needs me. Men that have seen Jen, that have been in his mind. Men and women are being in the mind of God before the Genesis. He needs to be rescued. He needs to come and deliver us. He came and bear the pain. The death that you're supposed to have died, he bear it upon himself. Can anything? I don't know the definition of love. If that's not love, there is urgency that you need to rescue you. Rescue you from the judgment. He want to rescue you from the destruction. He want to rescue my brother and take it to himself. He went through those pains because you are an elect. When I say you are elect, that means you are ordained for eternal life. You are part and parcel of God. He is. You are part of him. Amen. The way we came, by truth says, that makes us a fallen people. We fall. We were born to die. Yes. We were born without hope. Wow. We were born with all manner of disease and afflictions. Because the fall of our mama Eve, all nature went with it. Mm-hmm. We need to be rescued from such a dungeon. To be rescued from those terrible conditions. You think you are enjoying life here? I don't think you're enjoying this. I don't see anything. Yes. When you come to know what life is, where there's no sickness. I sometimes sit down and just imagine and say, this is the University of America. My people fight over themselves. Some people are ready to take risk and all that. I don't want to come here. I told them, I said, it's not easy. Let me let you understand. You have everything here, isn't it? Look at the irony of it. You have science. You have money. You have. When I enter your grocery shops, everything is heavy. But there is debt in it. I'm sorry to say, there is debt in it. It's a hybrid. I tell my people, I say, every food you are eating, you are eating satanic food. How you be eating something that is not according to God's word? And that's why you must pray for your food. Bless it and sanctify it. So, what are we talking about, brother? He died, he came to, he's on a mission to you that belong. We are the body of Christ, isn't it? That I'm talking about the church. We are the body of Christ. We are the body. We constitute the body, right? Now, and now, those that constitute his body have gone astray. Are infested with diseases, affliction of sin. The prophet preached sometime and said, he said, the cruelty of sin brought sickness, brought pain. Look, let me finish what I was trying to say just now. You don't escape my memory. In spite of all your scientific discoveries here, in spite of all the great thing you do, the rate of suicide is high. Am I correct? Compare it. Why should I be having all things left and right and here? I want to take my life. It's not life. To have life is to have Christ. To have Christ is your original life. Amen. He came to rescue you and brought us to himself because you are part of him. There is no way he can allow you to go away. That means if you are elected, you are part and parcel of God. And in effect, you are a miniature God. Shall we clap for that? Please just give a clap for that. Oh, I expect that to move you from the seat. You are not clapping. Clap for the Lord. Give a clap offering. No, let me tell you, you are part of God by that definition. Something again the prophet wants to tell you. You say, look, God can do without you. I've had Pentecostal people say, God can do if you don't misbehave, he'll kick you out. For the elect, for those that have that seed gem in their soul, he cannot kick you out. He can't even do without you. You see where we are going? It looks strong, but that is the gospel truth. That is what the seal, when the seal is open, these are the things. And these are the things that is going to build what we call rapturing faith. To know whom you are. To know you have the power to command. The prophet said the time is coming when you speak, it will thunder. It will shake the very foundation of the world. Because you are part of God. Elect. That is the word. You see, you are the bone of the same bone with me. You are the flesh of the same flesh with me. So when we meet him, we will be like him. And now that's why we are here. And that's why we fight battle on earth here. Now you see, do you know how you, why the reason why you fight battle, you struggle, you fight every time? Is because the kingdom that is coming, the kingdom of God that is to come, you are potentially having it already dwelling in your soul. You are potential, you have, it's already, by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's already in you. So you are now living, you have the characteristics of that new kingdom. Yeah. That kingdom is already potentially in you. So you cannot adjust. How am I going to say it now? You can't filter into it. You can't flow with the things of this world. There is nothing that you do of this world that entices you anymore. You are of God because you are elect. You are elected to be of God. And I want to take you higher. I'm still talking about the elect. There's no death for the elect. Saints don't die. It sounds strange to you. I don't know if there's a newcomer here. But let me tell you, that's the fact. That is true Christianity. How can that be? What is the meaning of death? It's separation. When somebody said somebody dies physically, he has separated himself. You know, it's like moving from this hall into the other room there. Physically speaking, separate yourself. But how can a Christian, a man that is filled with the Holy Ghost, that possess, that have God dwelling in him, how then can he be separated from God? It's not possible. If you look at the Bible, look at the scripture throughout, they will take care, they say they sleep. The saints went to sleep. They sleep. Please go back and read it. It's very difficult to see where they say he died. Though we're talking about death, that's the meaning of death. Separation. We are talking about physical separation. And that's what the Bible said. When we lose a loved one, when we have somebody that just passed away, we don't weep like people that don't have hope. That's right. That's what the Bible says. But we believe because we are going to meet again. In fact, whenever they pass from this fair to other fair, it's even a better place. Far better than this. The elect. You see what I mean by elect? That is those that we recognize. That is why, because you are elect, you are able to recognize the message of your day. So when the voice sounded, you heard it. Somehow, something in you anchors is a seed gem that you are of God. Abraham, obey that. Follow through. You don't die. Okay, let me give you the final one before I leave. There can never be a rapture without you being part of it. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. No, it's... You see, that's the confidence I have. That will give me joy. You can never see me sad, ever. Yes. Things can turn upside down. You can never see me sad. All these things are the hope I have in God. I, I, I was just flying down the first time I came to the United States of America, flying through the Atlantic Ocean. You know, in your front, you will see your movement. You see where the position of the aircraft. And I found myself at the middle of Atlantic Ocean. And the devil began to disturb my life on the sea there. I'm going to sink inside this sea now. I'm going to stop this engine now. I just kept quiet. I didn't don't mind the devil disturbing my mind. I was studying the message right inside. It keep disturbing me. I say, get you behind me, Satan. If you were evil, you disturb it, it's better for me. To die is gain. Simple. You take me quicker to my God. So that is our prayer. So we don't fright. We don't fuse. That is why we just rest, sir. So rest on the unfailing hand of God, because these are the things that's ordained. It's yours. I'm not saying it to entice you. Please. Get it right. I'm not saying to because I want to say something. Because I know it's facts.
Yes, it is.
It's the truth.
Yes,
okay, why am I so confident? Because my prophet has been there. And he came back and told me that he's there. And I believe him. Amen. I believe him. I believe everything will amount to. I believe it. I have my soul upon it. Because he has passed me to Christ. Now through him, I'm able to understand Christ. In the Old Testament, Moses said that he saw a back part of a man when he saw God. Say, God, I want to see. So, but in this ministry of Remaba, we saw the fullness of God was unveiled for us. So why should I be happy? Why? Right? Moses did something. Followed him. After that call, he had a voice. And he moved on. What happened was that he did something. He allowed his father to follow him and his nephew to follow him, because that was one singular thing that he did that was not right, Abraham. Amen. Because when you get the call, when God calls you, he requires you to make what we call total separation. You have to separate yourself from every manner of unbelief. Get yourself separated from anything. It will cost you something. It will cost your friends.
Oh, it has fallen. I told you just now. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Every manner of unbelief, you have to separate yourself from it. You separate yourself from all that. He separated himself from his father. The father followed him. And while the father was going with him, he began to have problems. When we see his brother, Lot, going with him, it was a problem. You know the fighting we have everywhere now in Nigeria? Those are what they call them, fighting... the killings and all the that are taking place. It has started a long time ago. Now, he followed. He allowed his brother. He started to separate himself completely from them. He allowed his brother, nephew to follow him, his father follow him, and all those that follow him, they become fly in the honey, in the oil. They become a pain to him. They become a trouble to him because they are. They all want to go with them. So when Abraham did that, God did not answer him at all. He went thick and thin. Troubles. You know the trouble he had with his brother over the henchmen. Henchmen trouble have started a long time, not now. So he starts until he said, the prayer told us along the line, the father died. And left. And then he become his brother. Lot, until the separation came. Watch what followed after the separation came. I feel like reading it for you to hear. After they separated, may God help us. It's a type. He said, after these things, the word of the Lord came again unto Abraham, in a vision saying, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield, and thy exceedingly great reward." And Abraham said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless?" And then, "Steward, and the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus." And Abraham said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir." And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "This shall not be thy heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowel shall be thy heir." And he brought him forth abroad and said, "Look now towards the heavens and tell the stars." Are you seeing that now? "If thou be able to number them." And he said unto him, "So shall thy seed be." And he believed the Lord. And he what? Please, I want to echo it. What did he do? And he believed the Lord. Get that? That is the point I'm going to drive home now. What did he do? He believed the Lord. We are not called to understand most times. You don't need to break your home. We are called to believe. Only believe. We sing that song. Sometimes we don't even know what we are singing. We act contrary to what we are singing. Our responsibility is to only believe. Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness. And that is the same thing for me and you, brother. Only believe. I don't care anything somebody said about the prophet. I've had many people begin to question my prophet in this country, and even in my country, they dare not do that. Why? William Branham is not under fivefold ministerial gift. The prophet, William Branham, he is not. William Branham is a super sign to this age. William Branham is a dispensational prophet. It's not like the fivefold ministers. We are under the dispensation of William Branham. He says, "Say what the tape says." We say what William Branham said. We quote what William Branham. I'm reading him now. Am I reading him now? I am reading him because that thing is terrible. It's not William Branham. It's God using the vessel to speak to you and to speak to me. Hallelujah, my brother. God spoke through him. Oh, let me give you an example. Say, Miriam, the junior sister to Moses. Amen? Things challenged the brother, Abraham. He went to marry a Gentile woman, which is forbidden to do. Went to marry her. And what happened? God summoned her and summoned Aaron to a conference. Listen to what God told her. He said, "If you have prophet among you, I will speak to him in dreams and in visions." Is that correct? He said, "But not so with Moses. For I speak mouth to ears to Moses." To disobey the voice of Moses is automatic death. To disobey Moses is death, automatic death. You are gone. Eternally separated. That is the same with prophet William Branham. You have the gumption, you have the temerity, you have the power to challenge a man of God, a major prophet sent to us to deliver us, to help us unto eternal life. How dare you do that? You don't charge, you don't question him. You cannot question his ministry. William Branham, Abraham. Amen. God sent him here. He's a dispensational prophet. He has come to rescue us. He has come to help us. He has come to test on the way of life. He has espoused unto Christ. Amen. He's our Elijah. Amen. Only believe. And that's all. He said to him, now he want to make a covenant. To solidify it. But I want to use the word to concretize the relation, the agreement. He said, okay, get me a heifer of 3 years old. Heifer is, I think it's a cow that I don't be touched. Little cow. Get one, get that. Get a 3 years old ram. Get a 3 year old and a 3 year old and a she goat, heifer, she goat, and that is the three animals. And then you bring a turtle dove, amen, and a pigeon. See, now all those things have great significance. They have significant. They are pointing to something that is going to happen in the future. Those heifer, ram of 3 years old, she goat, they are sacrificial lambs. They are sacrificial animals. Animals you use for sacrifice. Pointing to the perfect sacrifice that is to come in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, the pigeon and the pigeon and the dove, the prophet said, those signify healing. Amen. The healing power of God. Some people believe the salvation is just to save their soul and that is the end. No, it includes your healing hands. Amen. Brother, it includes your healing power. Yes, amen. Small, any little thing, you run to the doctor, anything you run to the doctor. We have a super doctor over there. Yes, every medicine they gave you have effect. That is it. Those doors represent our healing. We signify that God also, he said, by his stripe, we are healed of our sicknesses. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Is that correct? Am I quoting the Bible?
Yes, sir.
That's it. By his stripe, we are healed. Those doors represent those healings. That is to say that, look, when you are having any sickness, you don't need to go and be disturbing our precious brother and be disturbing our pastor and everybody. I am sick, I'm sick. You have the power to speak that word out. Or your child is sick, your baby is sick, or your husband is sick, and then you begin to run from pillar to post. I don't understand what you are experiencing. Why are you coming here? Then why are you serving God? There's the benefit of serving God, and these are basics. Come on, brothers. Tell me that you are serving God and you are living a defeated life, a life of sorrow, a life of pain. I would rather advise you to examine yourself properly. Yes. It will come. You have to appreciate. You see, you have to be in darkness first to be able to appreciate light.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. How you are sick and you don't have the power. The prophet said they are all demons. Would I call it fever? Would I call it yellow fever in Africa? Would I call it even headache? Would I call it typhoid? Would I call it cancer? Whatever thing, they are living beings. And every living being has a spirit. And you have the power to cast it out, brothers. Go on your knees, say, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I cast you out in Jesus' name. And believe. Believe your prayers. The problem with us, we pray, call upon God. And let me give you an example. Somebody just came, and the minister cast, I came now, you line up, kneel down, pray, I lay my hand upon you. Do you believe? Say, I believe. And he goes away. The next day, another person, minister, come again. The same person come again, and kneel down. And they say, you have faith? I have faith. Yeah. No. Faith is that. Nothing can change it away from your mind. Now, look at it. The Bible says, when you pray, are you with me now?
Yes.
When you pray, believe that you are praying. And then that is the time you now get the answer. You must first believe that your prayer is true.
That's right.
That I believe what I pray for is okay.
Amen.
Amen, church. And then it will answer. Oh, brother. May God help us in Jesus' name. Blessed be. So, Abraham did all those sacrifices. Because that was the covenant.
Right.
There are different type of people. People made different covenants. China has a way of doing their covenant. Japan have a means of doing their covenant. They will just throw salt on each other. Some do it different way, but the Orient world, that is the Jews, they have the world of their own. And their custom never changes. It remains the same till today. What do? They will kill an animal. Put an animal between the two of you to sign an agreement. And then they will, on top of the animal, they will tear a piece of paper and you will take one, I will take one. They said, any of us that break this covenant, amen, amen, church, any of us that break this covenant, may that person's life be like this dead animal. That is how they do in Orient world. Amen. And that is how they still do it today. Now, when the fulfillment comes, the time for fulfillment, you will now call with my paper. General will come with his own paper. And they will merge it and see how they dovetail. Agreement seal. That is why today, God, having done that, made those covenants, he asked Abraham to divide those sacrificial lambs. Divide them and put them on the other. And Abraham sat there looking and observing and watching. And birds were trying to call this vulture to come and tell me, we drive them away. We all have our responsibility in your salvation. We have responsibility. Drive them away. Then it came to a time, the night fall. God induced him into serious sleep. He just slept off. Deep sleep. And that signifies death must come to everyone. We must live here. Definitely. I wish. Prophet said, any man that have met God, that have gotten the Holy Ghost in his soul, will desire God to come now.
Amen.
Let me tell you the example of what I'm saying. A man that was once like a pig. Pig. A hog. I don't know why you call it here. Pig. Swimming in manure pile. All those kind of things. Messing things up. If by God's grace, God lifts that pig out and make him a human being. And now I'm dressing the way I'm dressing, looking clean, shower, shave, and everything. Would you want to go back to become a pig?
No.
You wouldn't want to go to that level. That is how it is a man that made God from the way we live without God. You without God, you are worse than a pig. You are a filth of society. But when you meet God, you become a clean human being. And when you look back where you come from, my brother, tears will come out of your eye that God delivered me.
Amen.
From the feet of the society. You will cry. The emotion will come in. You will not want to go back there. So what are we talking about now? So he did all those things. And then what happened in that scripture, if you go and read it? What happened, brother? It came out. Then God came with lights. Light came and flashed across those sacrifices.
Yes, that's right.
Which also signify there is hell for unbelievers. Fire, there is hell that a sinner must go. And I also want to tell the brethren here to understand that we are our prophet have also gone there. Is that correct?
Amen.
I believe I'm told to message believers.
Yes.
He has also gone there and I've seen hell is, he said, I don't even wish my worst enemy to go there. Please don't go there. Don't try. I urge you. Don't try. Don't, please. It's a place of torment. It's a place of torment. It's not just fire consuming you and you die. It's a place where you will, oh my God. It's a place of torment. Let me put that way. And then finally, brethren, what happened? Then this same pillar of fire that have come and showed himself to us, that same pillar of fire came upon those sacrifices and then flowed through those sacrifices.
Yes.
Covenant sealed.
Yes.
Completely sealed. God has accepted those sacrifices. Amen. Those sacrifices have been accepted by God. And those sacrifices are not conditional sacrifice. They are unconditional sacrifice. Oh my God. Oh God. I don't know how to express it to you to understand. Unconditional. It's not when you do this, then I will do this. He said, I've already done it. Abraham, I've done it. My brother Mark, he has already done it.
That's good, brother.
It is not now. The price have already been paid. Oh, I don't know how to make you understand. He has sacrificed. He has completed it from the foundation of the world. Oh. He has done it for you.
Wow.
Let me tell you something now.
Hallelujah.
He has already, he's done it a long time ago. The Bible tells us, let me give you something. The Bible says that God, the Lamb of God, was slain for you and me from what? The foundation of the world. Is that correct? Now let me tell you something now. Prophet said, oh my, that blood of that animal that was sacrificed before the foundation of the world, it is the blood of that sacrificial man before the foundation of the world that God used to write your name in the book, Lamb Book of Life. From the foundation of the world. It was that lamb blood. Now, when you use the blood of the lamb, when you use the blood of Jesus to write your name, tell me what can take it away. Tell me what can manage the way. There are some people whose name are written in the book of life that will be erased. There are people that are ordained for hell. They can't try. Nothing that can save them. There is some people whose name can never. Amen. There is names of people written in the last book of life that can never be erased. Amen. No wonder you are like this. No wonder you heard the voice of Mama Ego. You are here. There's no wonder that you are following. We are the continuation of the work of God. Amen. You see, all that was in God, he poured into Christ. All that was in Christ, he poured into church. Where you and me belongs to, brother. Ooh, I don't know. Praise the Lord. Nothing can take your name out of it. It is written in the blood of Jesus. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ, we know, is very powerful. Amen. The name of Jesus Christ, every name must bow. That is the perfect blood that was shed. So you can see that the confidence that you have to have believed this Malachi, the emphasis on believing the message of today. Believing it, meaning that you live in your life by it. There's no way your name can be erased. That's the confidence I have. Dying or living. That's why I don't worry. You don't worry has no virtues. Nothing should so much disturb you that you just simply go on your knees and call upon God. Say whatever thing you bind on earth here is bound in heaven. Whatever thing you lose upon earth here is loose in heaven. Whatever two or three of us shall agree upon anything, it shall be established. Jesus. No, we read this thing. It's a fact. Practice it. Put it to practice. I don't want to make that. I want to make you like. I hope I'm not taking your time because I'm a long preacher. No, there's nothing that gives me joy than to talk this thing. Oh, my goodness. Now, let me just move on. Oh, okay. It's after 12. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my God. God bless us. God bless you. God. Now, let me say something. God now, through Abraham, give a sign. Then, what did he do? He told him, what are we talking about, brothers? Abraham, he decided to now have a child. That's Isaac, the promised child. Please, let me ask, Pastor, please permit me, just give me the next 10, 15 minutes. I will round up. I want to round up to stand now. God now, after this sacrifice, after this covenant, the unconditional covenant, let's see what happened after that. to also tell you that God does not play with his words. See, we are not called because we are William Branham did great signs and wonder. Don't get it wrong. I didn't flow with him because of the great miracle that goes with William Branham. No. I don't think that should be your portion. They are secondary. It is the word. It is the word that attracted me. He was not only preaching the word, he lived the word. The Lord God lived out the word. He brought in this age the fulfillment of the promised word of God was made manifest in the life of William Marion Branham. Okay, now. He visited them. All of a sudden, the mother was speaking to him now, who was speaking to him from the cloud. All of a sudden, he appeared with three men. Three angels. Now again, I ask you, brethren, how do Abraham know that the one in the middle is Elohim? It's because you have the seed gem. You are part of God. So you can recognize God at any time, at any moment. When he appears, you will know. He knows. He went to the middle one and said, my Lord, Elohim. He says, God is God. Self-existing one, the creator of everything. And then what happened? Say, Lord, please, can I just please, let me just wash your feet. Let me wash your feet. Let me clean. Please sit down and eat for a few minutes. Please, my Lord. And they agreed and they sat down. Three angels. And that's why we must be careful, brethren. We can entertain angels without you knowing. So we more have to be careful in that area. And what happened? He allowed them. He called him, Mama Sarah, quickly, dress that flower. Get the best sheep there. Get it. We have a visitor, three visitors. And he entertained there to cut it short. And after he cut it short, after that, God Almighty, after drinking milk and drinking cow food, and they said God does not eat, he don't eat. And the prophet was able to explain to us how he eats. We don't eat in theophany, buddy. Right. I hope you understand when I say theophany. It's a body that you can appear and disappear. It's a body that we must go into. See, when we drop this physical body, we have another tabernacle. First Corinthians, right? We have another body. This is our body. So we are not going to inherit the kingdom of God with this body. It's a system element of the earth. It will go to the dust. But we have, as soon as we move, we pass from this physical body, we have another body that we are going to move into, theophany body. That is the one that will take us in the rapture. Amen. God came down and picked the dust of the earth and rolled it, and our angel Gabriel stepped into that. He picked another dust of the earth and rolled it, and my angel Gabriel, Michael stepped into it, and he did other one, he himself stepped into it and came down to earth to meet the bride, Abraham. And he gave them drink, entertained them. So that's how you must entertain your people. Your pastor, you are looking at him, a humble man, like he look like. I look at his face. I'm seeing Elijah in his face. I pray that God will help him. You should take care of him.
Hallelujah.
I'm not saying it because, I'm just saying the scripture. He has to be taken care of. When you do a service for God, you are doing a service to him, or doing a service to me, or any person. You are not doing it to me, you are doing it to God. It's God you are doing it to. That is how Abraham entertained God. And after he must have eaten, and I can imagine him without bed. Now, I want to, must I hide the thing I'm going to do in Sodom from my servant Abraham?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Abraham knew. Say yes. I'm going to destroy Sodom. Lord, I have my brother there. Lord. You see, death shows that we don't have root of bitterness. You must not have root of bitterness against anybody.
Right.
Sinner or saint. Love everyone.
Amen.
Express that love. In fact, what makes you a different person actually It is not because I love those that love me. No. Love those that hate you. Those that despisefully persecute you. Where I work sometimes, they don't pay off for 6 months. We don't be working and making millions for one person. He doesn't pay. Some people begin to abuse him. I say, why must I abuse him? Though he has not paid, he has been behaving wrongly, but yet I pray for him. Look at God. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. He said, Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Look at Stephen. They were killing him. He said, Lord, forgive them. Are we talking about David? Who did not do anything? David was just on his own, read his father's sheep, deadly in the wilderness. The Saul came and made him a king, and then trouble followed him. Trouble followed him, David. And God gave Saul on two occasions that David would have killed Saul. He said, God forbid that I touch God's anointed. Person that seek your life, you have opportunity of killing him. And that's why God says, David, a man after my own heart. May God be that, may that be your portion. I said, may that be your own portion. Amen. May God look at you and say, dead man, brother, sister, a man and women of my own heart. And that's it. God just, as soon as those angels left, do you know? That must also make you back what I've just said now, that you, as we are here now, you look so small, isn't it? Compare you here to the whole America. You know, you look so small. Insignificant. Do you know that it could be you that is holding the wrath of God from coming down? As small as you are. It's you. In your prayers. That hold the wrath of God upon this nation. May God help us. That's how important we are. That's how important you are. So, now, Abraham. After that, to just cut it short, he said, "Go to do, he said, Lord, please, brother, if we can find 15 or 20 righteous persons, I will not destroy Sodom for 20 righteous persons. Oh, 15, sir. I will not destroy for 15 righteous men. 10, if I can see 10, say, I will not have 5, we'll go, hey, he just left. And he went. But there's something that happened before then. He turned his back, told Sarah, he told Abraham, he said, I will visit you in a time of life. And then Sarah was right inside the back. And she, no, I want you to see the supernatural phenomenon that followed the birth of Isaac, which is through Isaac that Christ came. It's a supernatural event that followed it. Sarah just laughed to herself. You know, so you know, women, our sisters. Say me, 90 years old, be able to have a baby. All the things. He don't laugh. God said, why did you laugh? I didn't laugh, sir. I said, you did laugh. Ordinarily, God would have killed her for making God a liar. But God spared her life for two things. Touching her, we touch affect Abraham. Because they truly love each other. They are one, right? Then second thing, Sarah is part of the covenant. That's right. If you have said a woman will bear a son for you, he said, Sarah shall bear you a seed. So Sarah is part of the covenant of bringing forth that child. So he could not have destroyed Sarah. And that is exactly you and me here. If God is to look at our ways, the things we have done, God would have destroyed us. He would have destroyed us. Let me tell you, God cannot destroy us. He cannot. See, what am I talking about? I say, God cannot destroy us. I say, he can't destroy his own seed. He can't do that. Let me tell you, let me go the other way around. If you think that you want to try God and be stubborn, God will discipline you. If you say, look, my son, come this way. You say, I'm not coming. He will discipline you. How do God discipline you? He will give you sickness, and the sickness will affect you, and you will cry. Or he will spoil your business and make things unbearable for you because you have not come the right way. He's a disciplinarian. And the discipline in the church also extends to excommunication. When you see we are doing about excommunication, it's part of discipline in the church. The discipline is that to take you out of the protection, the security of God. Protection of God. And then you will, oh my goodness, you will, that security of God, you lose it. May God help us.
Yes.
Now let me just go where I'm going now. Quickly. And I'll run. Oh my God, time has come. Now, in a nutshell. Sarah, 8 years, 100 years old. He went to bed that night. And they slept. And over the night, look over the bed and look at Sarah. The Bible said Sarah and Abraham, they were old. Watch what the Bible said now. He said they were old and stricken in age. Two ways. Not just old. Stricken in age. Carry wood. Recon up. Sarah, this thing, flattened. No any talk about having bearing children. Forget how it's gone. But God's word must not fail. God's word cannot fail. That he has promised Abraham that you are going to have your own child. And then it came down over the night. The wrinkles. Sarah looked at herself in that morning. All the wrinkles and all the gray hair turns back. Ah, what has happened? And he saw her breast. Ah, came out very well. Because that time there's no feeding bottle. He must feed the baby with her breast. And that is only how. Completely changed. She changed and become like, probably said, between 17 to 18 years old, 16 years old. God transformed them to become young again. And Abraham woke up in the morning and the hunchback, all straightened out. Become a young man. And that's it. In a nutshell, he became, probably said, God turned them back to become young again. And that is where they could have the strength to bear Isaac.
Nice.
Prophet said, look at it again. After that, the birth of Isaac, Abraham had another 11 sons.
Wow.
To show how that God literally changed them. And that's what does it signify now? You and me, you standing here, one day, God is going to change us.
Amen.
We will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And we shall all be with God. I'll become young. We'll never grow. This old age, these wrinkles, it will all will vanish. We will be at the prime of our age forever. For all eternity. That's the sign of it. That we will be changed one of these days. And to ever be with him. Time will fail me to take you further. Time will take you to how the seed moved from Isaac. And how you now go to Jacob, which is grace. How the seed now move to Joseph, who is the perfect type. Joseph was a perfect type of Christ. He was loved by God and he hated by his brethren. He was they threw him into the dish and then he came out and he was sold for 30 pieces. Joseph was sold for 30 pieces. And then he rose from there and became prosperous. He went to Potiphar's house. Everywhere Joseph's feet tread upon. Anywhere Joseph stepped in, that place prospered. And that is expected to be the characteristics of all those that have that same seed. That wherever the sole of your feet shall tread upon the earth, you must take it for a possession. I don't believe in those that said poverty is your portion. Oh, this means your job is poverty. I don't believe that. You can make a legitimate business and prosper. Anything God puts his hand in, he must blossom.
Amen.
It has to, brother. That is church. And this church is secured. And I pray that God will keep you in this church. Let me put it this way, finally, in conclusion now. Look, this church, you are not born in, you are not joining that church. You don't say, I want to belong. I'm not talking about local. I'm talking about the mystical body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. The mystical body of our Lord Jesus Christ is where we must go to. And how do you belong to that church? By one spirit are we baptized into his body. And for you to be part of that body, you are already having that seat there. That's why the prophet said, look, I'm Abraham now. Do I join Abraham family? I am born into Abraham family. So we are born into, we are all family of God. By the seed gem. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You are a supernatural human being. Amen. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you possess all things.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. You possess all things. Oh my brother, look at, I say you possess all things. It's yours. I'm telling you what the Bible says. I'm telling you what the prophet told us. I'm telling you the revelation. Possess sickness, you possess death. Nothing can do you. Death cannot come to you until God has finished to you, until God finished with you. Nothing can take you out of this life. No power on earth. You can be in a plane, the plane will crash. You will come out of it without dying. It will be a mystery. In fact, you are a mystery. Oh, what am I saying? This church is described as a mystical body of our Lord Jesus Christ. Mystical body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the prophet says, for you to become a member of that mystical body, you yourself, you must be mystical yourself.
Amen.
A heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Let me tell you, we don't settle scores in heaven. You must live such a life that will be so unique. Jesus Christ said, dude, he lived such a life. That is why when all the disciples, all the 5,000, all the 70 left him, and he remained the 12, he now asked them, would you go yourself? They asked him, where can we go? For we know you are God that has eternal life. To whom shall we go to? This message that you are following today is the only truth on the surface of the earth. It's the only truth. I can prove it by any time. I'm taking your time, Joe. My dear brother, brethren, I don't know if I've made impact, but I pray that God will grant you the revelation. I just come and just write by this time tomorrow. I must be on my way. But don't forget me in your prayers.
Amen.
As I also pray for you. In fact, it will remain there, permanent. We are not following any look. Don't let Satan tell you that economy things will go better. Look at the politics, everything is gone. Don't expect it to go better. Don't just think about it. It has to be bad so that when you are in millennium, you look back and see where you are coming from, you'll be able to appreciate God.
Yes, sir.
So I pray that God will help you. God will renew your strength. You must belong to this church. Your destiny, if you have not met God by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, do everything within yourself. That is the real objective. The message of the hour is the Holy Ghost message.
Yes, sir.
He's the only one that cleanses our soul. Other denominations have the Holy Ghost, but it's in their spirit. That is why a man can be doing signs and wonder and do miracles, yet a lady that they have committed adultery with will be sitting down right there in the congregation. They will be looking at each other that have committed sin right there. But he will be doing signs and wonder. And he will be looking at somebody who has committed adultery over the night. It's an evil spirit. But you, to you, my brethren, that the word of God has come. I keep telling people, I may be very wrong. God so loves you. He brought William Abraham to come and direct us the way we must go. Now, when he come to reveal the seal, it has never happened, I don't know, at one time, to tell you how precious you are to God, how important you are to God, he has to come down with in the constellation of seven angels. Constellation of seven angels came down to this earth and shook the very foundation of this earth. Because souls, it's time for you to be saved. It is this divinely revealed mystery truth that I am preaching right now. that will literally change your life. The prophet said, rapturing faith lies in the pages of this message of the hour. So I admonish you to study it. Read and study these messages. It's not the pastor alone or minister that should be studied. You should be studying this message of the hour.
Right,
I tell you, we are not going to be disappointed. And the Lord Almighty will help us. God will bless you. God will strengthen you, my dear pastor. God will continue to help you and strengthen you and guide us through. Heaven is ours. And God will see us through. In the name of Jesus. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Shall we stand on our feet now, please? Because he lives, oh, all fear is gone. It's gone, Master. Because I know, oh, he owns my
Hallelujah. How many loves him for that? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, as we close this morning, the service, and Lord, we just know that you're speaking into our hearts, that we are to stay in your word and stay in love with you and read it as a love letter, Lord God. It's a relationship. And Lord, we know that you have spoken to us in this end time. Lord, we are getting ourselves ready. Making ourselves ready, preparing ourselves, because we are the bride and you're the groom, and we're so excited about this divine romance that we're a part of. You're going to sweep us off our feet into your heavenly realm, and we're going to be with you forever. We thank you, Lord, for these encouraging words that you are speaking to us, that we are the original seed, word, thoughts of you, Lord, that you had of us in eternity and washed in your blood already in advance. Lord, I thank you for that, and I pray that you bless these people as we are being dismissed. Go with us. Speak into each heart and life in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Because he lives, amen, I can face tomorrow.
to have the bishop of the church outside. Please help me to tell them.